Hello, everybody. In today's podcast, I'm going to talk to the next generation and what is important to them. The difference here is that both of the guests that I have today come from the same region, but one has moved to South Korea and the other to Western France. And what makes this so interesting is that here are two young people in two completely different situations. And I hope that I will live long enough to be able to see what happens during their careers. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome Claire in Seoul in South Korea and Maxime in Laval in Western France. Hello, Claire, and hello, Maxime. Welcome to this podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
You.
Claire, it's just after 3 p.m. in the afternoon in Seoul. Did you have a nice Saturday so far? What did you do?
Oh, yeah, it was pretty great. We go to our Christmas market in our friend's town. Mm-hmm. French town. And oh no, at first at 9 a.m. we had our CPR class because in South Korea it's mandatory, I think.
What is a CPR class?
CPR is like a cardiac treatment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cardiac treatment, and yeah, so we had 2 hours, and yeah, and after that we decided to go to the Christmas market. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was really like a little place, but mm-hmm. there was many people and many South Korean, because they are just like feeling like they're in France. It's just like, I think they're feeling to be like not even in South Korea, but like they're like a transportation in France.
Teleported to France.
Teleported
yeah.
to France.
Is the Christmas market like what we have in Europe? You know, the Christmas markets here in France with the little stalls and the mulled wine and so on? Or can you sort of describe to us what it looks like?
I think they're trying to make like a Christmas market that look like the one that you have in France. Mm. But it's actually not like at all like the one you have in France, because there's many like little shops, like I don't know what to say, like
little stores
where you have like traditional Korean food, street food, but there was some traditional French food stores,
mm-hmm.
like crepe. Wine and mm-hmm. yeah, like hot mm-hmm. wine
mm-hmm.
and no. Yeah, but it was really little, so
okay. Of course, I think it's rather cold in Korea now, isn't it?
It was the first day it snowed this morning, and now it's like I think -10 or something.
-10 degrees.
Mm. Yes,
lovely. I don't think we have quite these temperatures here. It's Christmas market in South Korea. I have to ask this question. Was there a kimchi stall at the Christmas market?
I didn't saw. There was tteokbokki store.
Okay.
But not kimchi store.
Okay. We know that you love this stuff. Okay, so Maxime, thank you for getting up so early. As a student, I know that this is a huge sacrifice. Did you sleep well last night? Did you dream anything?
Oh, yes, I sleep well, but I don't sleep a lot because yesterday I was a lot of homework. for next week. So I sleep just maybe 5 hours, but it's not a problem.
It's not a problem. Okay. So
I'm young.
You are young. Good to hear that. Okay. Now, in preparation for this podcast, Claire thought of 10 questions to ask Maxime. And in fairness and in balance, Maxime will also ask a few questions to Claire about university preparation in South Korea and especially about learning the language and how Claire can prepare for university if she decides to study in South Korea, which at this point is a distinct possibility. Claire, let me hand over the microphone to you, and can you ask your 10 questions to Maxime one at a time? And Maxime, give an honest but nice answer to Claire.
So my first question is, what's your work rhythm in university?
In university, I work maybe 2 or 3 hours per day after the university. And the real rhythm is 2 or 3 hours of homework between two courses.
My second one is, what are your future prospects after graduation?
After graduation, I don't know for the moment if I want to continue a little bit the school with a Master of Engineering, or if I want to directly work on a company like Airbus or Safran, and why not specialize in engine.
What do you like most about being a student?
That's a difficult question. I think I'm more free to do anything because now I'm at 700 kilometers from my home, and so I'm more free to do what I want. About being a student, yes, I'm with my friend all the time at school and to do a lot of party and. I think that I like most about being a student. And just another one. Now at the university, you have choose your school, and you don't work the bad subject. You always work on the subject you want to learn.
Do you have a lot of free time?
Okay, in reality, I have any free time, but that's because I have a lot of things. Firstly, the university. I do a lot of sport with gymnastics, 3 times per week. I prepare. I'm in an association for next year, and we need to prepare that all this year. And I also prepare another project with an airplane for next year. So I work a lot and I have any free time, but it's not a problem because I like all of what I want.
So what was the biggest change, difference between high school and university?
In reality, there isn't a lot of biggest change or difference. But maybe directly at the university, you are more free in the school. For example, last year, when I have a practical work and we finish early, you need to stay at the courses until the end. But now, if you are 2 hours of practical work and you finish the work in an hour, you can leave the courses and you are more free for all of that. I think that the biggest change, but, and you have different subjects. totally different subject. It's more specialized.
So about how much homework and how many assignments or projects do you have to do?
Okay, so this year I'm in the first year of the university. So yes, I haven't a project for the moment, but I prepare one for next year. And I haven't really homework like in high school, but I just need to prepare my future courses. Yes, between 2 or 3 hours between two courses.
So how much more reading do you have to do?
Can you explain me a little bit more the question? Do you want to know if I have a lot of book to read or?
About like comparing the things that you have to read in high school with what you have to read in university?
In reality, I don't need to read a lot of book for my university because I'm not in a normal preparatory classes. That's a little bit specialized preparatory classes directly in the high school, and we are not in the general preparation. So all the book for general preparatory classes like math and physics or math, physics and science engineering, that's a little bit different. We are our own courses prepared by my teacher, so we don't need to read a lot of book. So that can help us, but we don't need really it.
So are some of the programs in a foreign language, like English or?
I haven't a subject in a foreign language. But I have just the normal English courses. And that's a little bit special for me because I am from, last year, I do a technology baccalaureate. And for that reason, this year, I have just one foreign language, English. But person who did a general baccalaureate have two foreign languages. The first is English, and they can choose a second one like German, Spanish, or Chinese, but they haven't courses like mathematics or physics in foreign language. But in the 5 years, we can do a semester in another country like Canada, USA, or Spain or other countries in Europe.
Okay, now what do the students and teacher wear like? Is there a difference between high school fashion and university fashion?
In reality, not really. There isn't a big difference between high school fashion and university fashion. Just maybe when you present something, when you present your stage or something like that, you need to wear good clothes, beautiful clothes. Or for example, this day I will present my high school, so I need to wear beautiful clothes, but when you are normal courses, it's not really, really different. But I know that there is a law school near my school, and the person who work on the law school need to wear beautiful clothes.
So finally, how often do you go back home to visit your family?
I am here since the 31 August, and I just entered to Schönbrunn, to my home, in 2 weeks. So it's September, October, November, December, 4 months.
Thank you.
Okay, so well done, Clea, for those questions. Did you get enough information from Maxime to give an idea or to get an idea on what to expect should you study in France after your baccalaureate?
Yes, I think.
Yeah, but of course that's not an option. Yeah. All right. Okay, so thank you, Maxime, for your answers and helping Clea solve one or two problems. I'm going to now change the subject and talk about universities in South Korea. And because you and your mother, Clea, are living in Seoul, I sometimes look at South Korean newspapers just to give an idea of what is happening in your country. And a few weeks ago, I came across an article and about a subject that is called an exam that is called the College Scholastic Ability Test, CSAT for short. And I'm going to quote here from the BBC in the United Kingdom. They also wrote a short text about it. So this CSAT is, and I quote now, a grueling 8-hour set of university entrance exams. So it must be really, really tough. It is difficult to overstate the significance of the CSAT. Similar to other global standardized exams, CSAT scores open doors to prestigious universities. In Korea, however, social pressure and peer judgment not to attend local colleges cause many students to jockey for a few spots in three top universities located in Seoul, known as Sky Colleges. And only 1% of the students will be admitted. So in the CSAT exam of 2022, I think there were just over 500,000 students sitting in this exam, and only 1% of these 500,000 students will actually make it, and the other 99% have to choose some other form of further education. Now, what is interesting about the CSAT is, and I quote again, for a single day, just one day, the exam becomes the priority of the entire nation. Work starts an hour later, enabling students to get to their testing centers on time. Planes are grounded, so there is no plane flying over South Korea during the listening portion, so as not to create any extra noise. Younger classmates flood the streets to support upperclassmen. Parents pray together that the many hours of study their children have put in will pay off. Without top scores, entrance into the highly desired Sky universities is nearly impossible, which leads many students to sit for the CSAT exams multiple times. The test can become a life-consuming endeavor. So you might even have people who are much older than your high school graduates who are still looking to get into these three elite universities. So, Maxime, you had to do something similar before you went to the Estaca Grande École in Laval. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I have a little exam to enter, but not so big, because to enter on my university, I just need to to do a presentation of me, and I have a meeting with a teacher in Paris. But that's all. After that, he just look my notes. The second one, yes, is the meeting in Paris.
Now, I remember during the baccalaureate season and maybe during the weeks after that, the French unions were out on strike because of extreme high petrol prices, and they wanted to maximize the disruption for everybody. And I still remember there were parents saying that this is unfair because the students cannot get to the test centers in time, or it is difficult because the unions are being egotistical about their demands towards the future generation. And when you read or hear about such a situation where for one day in the year, one of the most industrialized countries on this planet basically comes to a standstill so that the young people can go and try to become the best citizens academically for their country. When you hear about what they do in South Korea, what do you think?
Yes, a little bit about the difficulty of the exam and what proportion is.
Mm.
We're stopping the airplanes for an hour for the listening test. So that's enormous.
Yeah, so a totally different approach. Yeah, so yep. in one country, the unions go out on strike to create as much disruption as possible. And yep. In another country, the country is almost brought to a standstill so that the generations in the future have a good chance to progress forward. A difference in attitude. We're going to reverse the situation, and Maxime has a few questions for Claire. And by way of introduction, Claire, you go to the Lycée Français in Seoul. So it is in some ways a very different school, but in another way, it is not different because you are learning exactly the same subjects as you would have had you stayed in France. The curriculum is the same, and you will do the French baccalaureate in 2024, yeah? And that will be pretty much the same baccalaureate as we would do it here in France. The only difference is that the questions are slightly different because the further east you go, the earlier you do the baccalaureate. And of course, with the internet, you could easily send the baccalaureate exam questions to your friends here in France and say, psst, this is what they're going to ask you. Yeah. So the baccalaureate is in the structure the same, but in content a little bit different. Yeah. Just let me quickly pop in a question in between. Can you describe a little bit to us your school in Seoul and what is different between your school in France and now in Seoul?
So I think the biggest difference is that it's half international, half American and half French, so so it's pretty international. I think it's most international than French for me, because for example, like there's only every language teacher don't speak any French words. Like our English teacher or German teacher, and I think that there's many of my friends that they really like struggle with French.
Mm-hmm.
They they have like hard time to speak in French. And so that's why it's like not really like a really French school. And I want to say that, in my school, they are more preoccupied by someone who's like have like a bad level or are like bilingual, in English, than in French.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's that normal to and random to do this, but yeah, that's it.
Which school do you like more? You've been at the Lycée Français in Seoul now for 3 or 4 months. Where do you think you are learning more? Seoul or in France?
I'm learning more in Seoul, but it's too much. Like, that you are too
tight, yeah.
And then in France. And the level is really hard, and we have like about, I think, 2 hours of homework after 6 p.m. that we have to give, like to give to our teacher before 11 p.m. the same day. And so yeah, it's really like I'm tired to this of my day and of my week. But yes, I think they're just like preparing us to university.
Maxime, over to you. You have a few questions that you want to ask Claire about her preparing herself for university, even if it is still 1.5 to 2 years away. And also questions on the fact that Claire is learning Korean, not the easiest language to master, I think. So, Maxime, it's over to you.
So, Claire, what do you want to do after high school?
So I have many ideas, but for the moment, I really want to study communication and journalism, but in Korea, like in the university here, so I just talked with my orientation teacher in my school, and he sent me many ideas, many advice to go to university here, and so I know many things. At first, that I really want to go to one of the Sky University, so it's like the three best university in Asia and I think in Korea. And there's like the Seoul University, the Korea National University, and Yonsei University. Okay. And he said that the best for me is to go to Korea University to learn about to study in mass communication, international mass communication. And he said that many Koreans have struggled like to go to university here, like the Sky, but for foreign people as me, like I'm in the French high school, they're like, it's easier to go for me because I'm foreigner and they know that I speak normally pre language, and that first I'm like, I think, I don't know why, but yeah, it's easier. And yeah, but I have to, and I will take a English exam, it's the Cambridge, and I have to normally a B2 or C1 level. So yeah, I have to normally pass this, the next year, in terminal. And so yeah, I have to prepare this with French because it's pretty hard, but I think I can do it if I think in 1 year I will improve my English more and more, and because of the English level in here, and yeah, and I think it's possible to have like a C1 or B2 level in English, and so yeah, and that's what they want here to, like, normally here with that the teacher say, he said that normally everyone here have to have like a C1 level. It's not normal to have under this, you guys are 16. It's not normal. And so for them, it's totally normal to being bilingual in this subject. But yeah, I really want to pass this, the next year, or having the Cambridge C1 or B2.
And another question, is your international school near your apartment in Seoul or not? Or you need to find a new apartment if you go there?
No, it's really near. It's at like 10 minutes by north, five minutes by walking.
Okay.
So yeah, it's really near. It's in the same neighborhood.
Because that's important.
Yes.
And yes, what do you do now to prepare yourself for what do you want to do after high school?
I'm improving my English more and more. I'm trying. And I'm trying to have a good level in language. I think it's my priority at first to have, for me, like my first priority, like for this two terminal year is to have a B2 C1 level in English and like knowing and improving my Korean more and more because I want to pass the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Korean exam, like to have not a great level, but the good level, like
yes,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Like a middle level.
So you live in Korean, so you need to speak a little bit
Korean. Yes.
Another question. How will your school support you for this?
The things to know that our high school and our teacher, for us, everyone have to go to a high school, high university, as in French or in America or in Korea, or yes, they just want us to go to high school for, I don't know why, but yeah, so they're preparing us to go there. And yeah, I think in my class, like everyone want to go to big university as such in USA or in France or in London. Or not in Korea. I think I'm the only one to want to go to university in Korea, but yeah, it's in their prospect to go there. So, I think their work are here for preparing us to after, you know, post back, for university, I think, and that's why they're giving us many, many homework, and that the level is really high. And I think, yes, that's it.
And Frank spoke me about the topic, and what is the topic maybe at the end of 2023, early 2024? So how many difficult is it to learn Korean?
I think It depends, like, if you spend many time to learn it, like, if you make time in this, if you put your efforts in this, like me, I think I learned the Hangul, like Hangul is the Korean alphabet. So now I can read and read it and write it. But it took me, I think, but I think 1 month, 1-2 months.
Okay.
And yeah, it was pretty easy. Like I didn't really like, study this. So yeah, but it's a bit hard and a bit not that hard. Like I don't think it's really hard. Like I think my current level will be better than my German level, like in 1 year, because it's not really, because, in their language, they don't have pronouns and they like for, I don't know, like for asking for beverage in, I think Starbucks or something like that. You just have to say, what you want and to say, like, you want a cafe latte. Mm-hmm. You say now, or matcha, you say, Hana matcha chuseyo. It's just that, like, you just have to say, the beverage with the please. And for us, this is, for them, this is a sentence is like, this is a sentence, like, and that's why it's, I think, a bit easy. But it depends, like, but I watch a lot of K-drama, so I heard many, like, keywords. It's been 3 years, 4 years that I watched K-drama, and so I've heard many, like, keywords, help words that helping me in my everyday life in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I hope in 1 year I will improve my Korean more than now.
And it's not too complicated to have a better level than German. And, can you describe me a situation where you have to use Korean?
A situation that has... it's been 2 weeks or three, I think. No, 2 weeks. We decided with my friends to go to Han River. It's at like 10 minutes by bus from our town.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to take the bus. And now we just, I think at like 9 p.m., something like this, we just decided to like rent a bike. So we just searched it. It took us like, I think 20, good 20 minutes. Yeah, because it was really harsh. I don't know why we didn't like find it at first. But after that, we just find it. And so, there was like some instruction. It's like really been friends. Like it's self, like, you can just took one with just having an application.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole application was in Korean. So basically my friends are Korean, so hopefully they just can like rented it. But we really like struggle, like same for them, because they just lost many words in Korean. So there was like, what the meaning of that? And so there was any translation, like I didn't find it. So it was really, really harsh. And yeah, I think there are any situation that you have to use Korean. At first that Korean people are sorry, but they're so bad at English. And like sometimes they're really, really like same for hello or some basic English word, they don't understand you. And I think they don't put any efforts to understand you because they're, I don't know why, but yeah, they're like, I think racist a bit. They don't really like foreigner, but yeah, sometimes they don't put any effort. So you have to speak some keywords, current keywords, or using Google Translate or something like this, because it's really, really hard to communicate with them. And I think that when you go to the metro, sometimes there's any translation, like Roman letters.
Okay.
And it's all in Korean, so you have to, normally you have to like know Hangul. It's better for you to just know like the first letter, and you're like, ah, this is Gangnam. So, okay, I'm in Gangnam, and then you're okay. But yeah, I think it's important to speak a bit Korean.
Yes.
Like, and if you want to leave this, I think it's a priority to speak Korean. Not fluently, but I think it's great to speak Korean.
Yes, I can imagine.
It's absolutely fascinating to listen to all of this, Claire, because you really bring home the point how different life is for you in Seoul. That we start with the basics of food, and then we continue with modern society. And it all hinges on the language, that if you cannot communicate in the local language, then it is so much more difficult. Yeah. And then you wanting to learn this language and in a structured manner with the topic exam. All I can say is chapeau to you, because it will help you in the future.
Mm.
Maxime, back to you for the minute. When you hear, I just expressed my fascination about it, but of course you are a two generations younger than me. How does all of this, what Claire is talking about, how does this sound to you?
Oh, that sounds very good. I can learn a lot about a new country, new people, new. So all of that is totally new for me. I don't know. So I know anything about Korean, and now I can show and imagine how is it in another country, totally different than France, and that sounds very good for me.
How does it motivate you to maybe? We know that France is a beautiful country. It has a high lifestyle, good health system, etc., etc. It's a beautiful country to be in. How does it motivate you to maybe, what Claire is saying, how does it motivate you to maybe live in a different country, at least for a couple of years?
I think I don't want to leave totally France, because it's more easy to stay in France, and we have a lot of good company in what I want to do after my school. But that motivates me a little bit to why not do a semester in an honor country. Because in my university, I need to have an experience in another country, but that can be just a stage for 4 or 5 week in holiday, but that can be also a complete semester, and that motivates me to do that.
Could you imagine? I suppose the countries that would be first on your list are Canada, the United States, and the United Kingdom. But Could you somewhat imagine that maybe going to an Asian country like South Korea, like Japan, maybe even, I mean, if they are teaching Chinese in your school, could you imagine going to an Asian country for your internship or for some further training?
I think it's more complicated to do an internship in an Asian country for logic reason. So when you go in another country like USA, Canada or Great Britain, you can speak English and we learn English since 2015 or 2014. But in an Asian country, you have a new alphabet, new country, totally different than France or Great Britain. And that's more difficult to go there.
Claire, I think we need to work on Maxime to take mm-hmm. him more and more out of his comfort zone. I mean, Claire, you didn't really have much choice in the matter. You know, you went to South Korea because of your father's work. And I suppose you could have stayed at home in France and spent some time with some relatives. But one part of you also said that you wanted to go to this, to go to Korea. You'd been watching K-pop and K-dramas and so on. So you were familiar with a lot of things Korean. But there is one thing that comes through in a lot of these discussions is, and it goes back to the comfort zone. People are afraid to leave their comfortable environments because people are naturally afraid of what is unknown. Yeah. Now, it was not 100% unknown to you, but, and you didn't have much choice in the matter, but you took the leap from a familiar environment at home in a very small village of 1,000 people to this enormous city of 18 million people. And I'm sure that there were moments where you were a little afraid and you felt insecure. What did you do and what helped you to fight this fear?
Yeah, sometimes it's really hard to be like far away from my friends or from my family. But I just remember that I have some pretty good friends here. But for the moment, it's like not as my, we're not close that I'm with my French friends. Because I think it's a debut, you know, like it's just the beginning. And yeah, it will be better after. But it just been like, I think 4 months or five that I'm here. So I think it's normal to be, homesick sometimes or to be really anxious because I had, so many, same in France, but since many years, I have anxiety crisis.
Mm.
And I think it's the same for many teenagers because of, I don't know why, but of society, of our, the atmosphere of the world and everything, like it's giving like anxiety. And sometimes it's stressful for me to be in a big city far away from, we are just like at the usually to live, like the my random environment, and so yeah, I think it's sometimes it's really hard, for me, but it's okay. I just remember some things like that I'm not alone, and yeah.
I think you said two very important things there. You're not alone because, of course, you have your parents with you who will support you and help you. But more importantly, you have some friends. You made some friends, and what I find interesting is that you made Korean friends. So. Mm-hmm. You have, of course, you know people from other countries in your school, but you seem to want to go out with Korean girls and do things together, three or four of you. And what I also find interesting is that your little story about the bicycle app at the Han River, that it was at 9 p.m., and we have to imagine this, yeah, 9 p.m. in a city of 18 million people, and you are, excuse me for saying this, Claire, you are 16 years old, and it is safe for a group yeah. of young girls to go into Seoul at 9 p.m. on a Saturday night.
It's really, like, safe everywhere. Like, we don't be in danger. I stayed, and I think that I will be more comfortable to be alone here than in Paris. I think, when I for my post back, I think I will be better here than in Paris or Strasbourg alone. Like, here it's great, but like I just say, after just the beginning, so, like, to be like, after that I will be more usual with this atmosphere, this country, this city. I will be more comfortable than I am right now. Like, yeah, I think it's up to took time. I think it's the process. And yeah, it's Max- normal.
Maxime, I can see the look of shock and disbelief in your face. So Claire says she feels safer in Seoul, which is infinitely bigger than she would feel in Strasbourg or in Paris. What is your reaction to that?
So I think it's very cool for that, because I know, like in Haguenau, there is a very bad street near my Essen High School, so that's very cool. So in Korean it's safer than in France, because in France is not normal to have bad street like that. But
And we're looking at Haguenau, a city of 30,000 inhabitants. It's smaller than Laval. I suppose there are parts of Laval where people say you shouldn't really go there. It might be a little interesting, to put it mildly. This week, I will put the link at the bottom of the podcast. This, again, it came from the Korean Herald newspaper. There is actually, this might be interesting for you, Claire, there is a book available. It was written by a Korean professor, I think, and it's called The Land of the Squid Game, and it describes two parts of Korean society. First of all, games that Koreans like to play, and then it also describes the way Korean society operates and works and what its values are. And there we have a very homogeneous structure, a deep respect for elderly people, a deep respect for law and order, a deep respect for clean streets and a proper, very conservative way of life. Yeah. And it's almost like a rule book. This is what you have to do and do not do when you are a citizen, either a Korean citizen or a foreigner living in Korea. So I'll put the link to that book at the bottom of the podcast recording. All right, Claire and Maxime, thank you both very much for this very interesting conversation. It is, I think, probably more interesting than both of you might realize, because both of you are sending very, very strong signals to other people of, if you are motivated, if you have the right support, and if you are willing to maybe take a little risk, all of you can actually achieve a lot in your future lives. And like I said at the beginning, I hope I live long enough to be able to occasionally have contact with you and say, hi, Claire, do you remember me when I was 20 years younger? And you are now a journalist or doing your career speaking three languages. Maybe Maxime, one day I will either drive a car or fly in a plane, and I can think, wow, yes, my friend Maxime, he has his fingerprint on this plane. He helped other engineers build this plane. Yeah. So thank you very much, both of you, for your time, for your explanations. Okay. And I hope we can repeat these kind of discussions in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.